Welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for the Economics Report and American Mosaic, coming up after As It Is.
From VOA Learning English, this is As It Is. Welcome back to the program. I'm Katie Weaver. In January, Britain and Nigeria signed a prisoner exchange agreement. Now, Nigerians are questioning what will happen with a well-known Nigerian politician currently in a British jail. If the former Delta State governor returns to Nigeria, will he be loved or hated? Will he be jailed or freed? Then we talk about the growing popularity of games of chance among Liberian youth. Some say the activity could be damaging to the country. Britain is preparing to send some Nigerians jailed in the country back to Nigeria. British officials say any Nigerian serving a sentence of more than 12 months will be sent home if both governments agree to the prisoner exchange. One of the prisoners could be James Ibori, a popular former governor. He is serving 13 years for corruption. Unlike other prisoners, Ibori may be treated like a hero if he comes home. 2 years ago, a court in London sentenced James Ibori to 13 years in a British prison. He earlier was accused of stealing $250 million in public money from the Nigerian government. Before that, he was accused 2 times of corruption in Nigeria, but he was never found guilty of any crime. Ibori supporters say the accusations and the British court ruling were moves by politicians seeking to crush Ibori's support. They say they would welcome him home. Davidson Okparmadevi worked on Ibori's 2 successful campaigns for governor. He says Ibori's popularity in Delta State is indisputable.
Ibori became so popular because of his clear-cut achievements that had impacted positively on the lives of the entire Deltans. The least of his achievements has impacted on the people is inexhaustible.
He says Ibori built roads, bridges, and hospitals. He says President Goodluck Jonathan would do well to get Ibori back home and pardon him. The president is expected to seek re-election in 2015. In recent months, Mr. Jonathan's ruling People's Democratic Party has lost several top officials, including 5 state governors. Rebellion in the north and poverty around the nation has also damaged the president's popularity. Again, Davidson Okparamadevi.
So if Ibori shows up, that would be a boost, a real boost to Goodluck Jonathan, to office.
But other Nigerians are not so sure. Onia Gandhi is a lawyer in the oil-rich but poor city of Warri in Delta State. He says that Ibori used money from oil to pay back his followers and buy loyalty.
Giving him freedom would indict Jonathan and confirm the allegations, very widespread now amongst Nigerians, that his government is massively corrupt and pampers corruption.
The British-Nigerian prisoner exchange was announced in early January. Under the proposal, hundreds of Nigerians in British prisons could be sent home, as well as one British citizen in Nigeria. Amnesty International says it is extremely concerned that poor conditions in Nigerian prisons could make the exchange inhumane. Observers in Nigeria say if James Ibori is sent home but not freed, there is no way he will serve the rest of his sentence in a dirty jail cell.
You are listening to As It Is from VOA Learning English.
In Liberia, several sports betting companies have set up operations. Young people who are unemployed gather at these betting parlors in hopes of winning money on things like televised football matches. Some say betting can provide the money they need, just like having a good-paying job. But others are not so sure that these games of chance are a good idea. Christopher Cruz reports.
At a betting parlor in Monrovia, a group of young men place their bets on a football match. Then they wait for the results on television. Harris Coquet is 37 years old. He completed a college degree program but could not find a job. He says he started betting and is making a living from it.
Really been living by it. Yeah, been helping me a lot. The last time I won about $700. It was a great help to me.
But not everyone is sure betting is a good thing. Harrison Myers is about the same age as Harris Coquet. He says students are playing games of chance instead of going to school.
This gambling team is bad for our society. Our youth are not going to school any longer. They spend an entire day at a gambling center.
Back at the betting parlor, Theo Varney says he does not have much choice. He is out of work and has two children.
And we have no much facility to take care of our affairs. So what do you expect? We are not betting because we want to bet. We are betting because we want to make our living.
Randall KB works for a betting company named Winners Incorporated. He says the business employs young people across the country, creating hundreds of jobs. He also says betting companies are changing people's lives for just a few Liberian dollars per bet.
As you just enter my office, as you can see from this evidence, this is a ticket. Somebody bet 50 LD, winning 233,275 Liberian dollars.
One American dollar is worth about 86 Liberian dollars. Winners Incorporated says more than 7,000 Liberians bet each week at its parlors around the country. And there are 300 to 400 weekly winners. The Liberian government controls all legal betting in the country. Liberian officials say the betting shops help promote government poverty reduction strategy. I'm Christopher Cruz.
And that's As It Is for today. I'm Katie Weaver. We want to know what you want to hear about on As It Is. Send an email to learningenglish@voanews.com. You can also leave a message on our website, learningenglish.voanews.com. Thanks for joining us.
The Economics Report is next, followed by American Mosaic. You can read and listen to our programs and download MP3s at learningenglish.voanews.com. You can learn with us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at VOA Learning English.
From VOA Learning English, this is the Economics Report. Economists are warning of slower growth in Thailand, Southeast Asia's biggest economy. A major credit rating agency recently reported that continued political unrest in Thailand could hurt the country's economy. In its report, Fitch Ratings noted a reduction in manufacturing and sharply lower sales of goods and services. Fitch said the trust of both Thai consumers and businesses is at its lowest level since the huge floods of 2011. The ruling party is seeking to break up the opposition Democrat Party. Opposition forces accuse the ruling party, led by Prime Minister Yingluck Shinawatra, of being disloyal to the king. That is a serious accusation in Thailand. The opposition has also questioned the fairness of recent elections. Now, foreign investors are getting concerned. The president of Toyota Motor Corp in Thailand has warned that long-term investors may put their money in other areas, like Indonesia or Vietnam. Chris Bake is an expert on business in Thailand. He says major foreign investors are concerned about the elections. They fear the lack of a clear winner will frighten investors. He also says car makers and related businesses are concerned the government will be unable to make serious policy decisions. Thailand's government is under financial pressure to pay rice farmers more than $3 billion for rice it promised to buy at higher than market prices. Now, the government is having trouble finding the money to pay the farmers. Banks have been unwilling to loan money for the plan. Foreign investors have also been pulling back from the Thai stock market since political protests began in November. The leading measure of Thai stocks has lost 10% of its value since then. Andrew McBean is a partner with Grant Thornton Thailand, a business advisory service. He says the fact that the elections were largely peaceful was a hopeful sign. Still, Thailand's tourist industry has been hurt by the unrest in the capital, Bangkok. More than 40 countries have announced travel alerts in recent weeks, and tourism officials estimated losses for the month of January alone at $685 million. The Thai economy has recovered from earlier political and economic problems, but the recent unrest may make it harder for foreigners to want to return as they have in the past. And that's the Economics Report from VOA Learning English. You can find more programs at our website, learningenglish.voanews.com. I'm Mario Ritter.
Welcome to American Mosaic. From VOA Learning English, I'm June Sims. On the show today, we explore the history of Valentine's Day. We also look back at the development of blues music. But first, let's go to the Winter Olympics. No tropical nation has ever won a medal in the Winter Olympics, but Jamaica's bobsled team is known for trying. Mario Ritter tells us about the 2014 team in Sochi, Russia now.
This year, Jamaica's two-man bobsled team qualified for the Winter Games after a 12-year silence. They are hoping to represent their island as their countrymen did in the 1988 Calgary Olympics. That team won hearts around the world. It also was the subject of a 1993 Walt Disney movie, Cool Runnings. The story seems unlikely. A bobsledding team coming from a tropical country like Jamaica sounded so, well, odd.
We're looking for a sponsor for the first Jamaican bobsled team.
Their dream was to compete in the Olympics. But they chose a sport they knew nothing about.
Great. Very good.
In a climate they had never been.
Cold weather endurance is vital to building a successful sled team.
After competing in 5 Winter Olympics, the Jamaicans dropped out of sight. Then, 17 days before the start of the 2014 Olympics in Sochi, Russia, the Jamaican bobsledding team suddenly reappeared. They were training in a rural corner of the American state of Wyoming when they got the news. Now, they call themselves Cool Runnings, the second generation. They say they are the hottest thing on ice.
Jamaica bobsled team, Sochi 2014, here we go.
The Jamaican Olympic bobsled team is still creating a story that would fit nicely in a movie script. This year, the bobsled team raised money on the internet. In fact, it raised $180,000 in only 2 weeks. That method for raising money did not exist in 1988, when the team joined in the Calgary Olympics. But then they missed their flight into Russia. And when they finally arrived in Russia, they found that all of their sporting equipment was lost along the way. So the team spent the first few days in Sochi borrowing equipment to practice on the track. They took pictures with tourists. They also bought new phones to call family back home, who are still wondering why they are doing this. In the movie Cool Runnings, the bobsledders faced this thought, that Jamaicans had no place at the Winter Olympics.
You have no business here, Jamaica.
People are always afraid of what's different.
But it is now years later. Is the Jamaican team too old? Winston Watts is a veteran of 3 Olympics. This year at the Sochi Olympics, he is pilot and team captain. And he says age is just a number.
It doesn't matter how old I am, is how you take care of your body, that's for one. It's what you put into your body and day-to-day activities that you do is you know, I'm 46 years old straight, but if you look at me, I look like I'm 26. So age is just a number, as I said.
Mr. Watts says the 1993 movie Cool Runnings still makes the Jamaican team proud today. He adds that it is important to inspire a new generation of Jamaicans to continue the Olympic bobsledding dream.
Can't buy me love. Can't buy me love. I'll buy you diamonds.
that makes you feel alright. I'll get you anything, my friend, if it makes you feel alright. Cause I don't care too much for money, but money can buy me love.
Happy Valentine's Day. Americans celebrate the holiday each year on February 14th. So do candy companies, jewelry stores, and people selling flowers. Marcia James tells us more about Valentine's Day in the United States.
Valentine's Day is for lovers. It is a good day to ask your boyfriend or girlfriend to marry you. It is also a popular day for marriage ceremonies. But other people might celebrate with dinner at a nice restaurant. The holiday is named for Saint Valentine. He was an early Christian clergyman who was said to have helped young lovers. Valentine was executed for his Christian beliefs on February 14th, more than 1,700 years ago. But the day that has his name is even older than that. The ancient Romans celebrated a holiday for lovers more than 2,000 years ago. As part of the celebration, each girl reportedly wrote her name on a piece of paper and put it in a large container. Each boy reached into the container and pulled out the name of a girl. That girl became his girlfriend for a year.
If I was your boyfriend, never let you go. Keep you on my arm, girl, you'd never be alone. I could be a gentleman, anything you want. If I was your boyfriend, never let you go.
Lovers still put their names on pieces of paper on Valentine's Day. They send each other cards that express their love. Sometimes they send other gifts too, like jewelry, or flowers, or candy, or all three. So Valentine's Day is big business in America. The National Retail Federation is a trade group. The Federation represents retail stores in the United States and other countries. It expects the average American to spend about $134 for Valentine's Day this year. That is up about $3 from 2013. The group also says men will spend about 2 times as much on their partners as women will. And it expects total spending for Valentine's Day in the United States to reach about $17.3 billion.
My funny Valentine, sweet comic Valentine, you make me smile with my heart. Your looks are laughable, unphotographable, yet you're my favorite work of art.
Many people around the world enjoy listening to blues music. Blues music can be emotional and powerful. Its songs talk about life, love, hope, and pain. Catherine Cole tells us how the blues came to be.
A century ago, poor African Americans worked very hard on farms in the southern United States. Their lives were often difficult. The workers used music as a way to express themselves. they started to play a new form of music that made them feel better. Blues music was born. Today, the blues is played on musical instruments like the guitar and the harmonica. But the workers of a century ago did not always have the money to buy an instrument. So they developed homemade instruments, that is, instruments they built themselves. For example, a musician might connect a thin wire between two nails and then play the string. The homemade instruments made unusual sounds. Those sounds became part of blues music. When the workers left the South to work in cities around the country, blues music went with them. Shelley Ritter is the director of the Delta Blues Museum in Clarksdale, Mississippi. She says musicians like McKinley Morganfield played blues music. You may know him by his stage name, Muddy Waters. This is the name he used when he performed.
Call it Stormy, my name. But Tuesday's just as bad. Call it Stormy, my name. Tuesday's just as bad. When this wife and Thursday is all so sad.
David Evans is a musicologist, a professor who specializes in music. He teaches at the University of Memphis in Tennessee. He says there is evidence that cities like Memphis, St. Louis, and New Orleans were also important in the creation of blues music. He says blues music has roots in Africa and even Europe. David Evans says at first, people were afraid of the blues because it was different from any other music they had heard before. But being so different is what made blues music popular. Today, musicians like Buddy Guy and Eric Clapton play the blues. Another famous blues performer is B.B. King. B.B. King calls himself the king of the blues.
Thrill is gone. The thrill is gone away. The thrill is gone, baby. The thrill is gone away. You know you done me wrong, baby. And you'll be sorry.
Someone newer to blues music is Shamiqua Copeland. She recorded her first blues CD in 1998 when she was 19 years old. She sang for President Barack Obama and his wife Michelle at the White House 2 years ago. We leave you today with her song, Lemon Pie.
Train left the station, I didn't climb aboard. Price of the ticket was too much to afford. And I saw that politician, I know you know his name, waving from the window of that gravy train. For the poor.
I'm June Sims. Our program was written and produced by Katie Weaver, Anna Mateo, and John Abbott. Join us again next week for American Mosaic from VOA Learning English. I'm